Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Defensive coordinator Jeff Ulbrich for the New York Jets was asked today about Bryce Hall's comments that the Jets did not prepare for Gardner Minshew.
Oh, good. Let me guess, because I haven't seen this. So it's not a Craig guess, where he already knows the answer. No, that's not true. Bryce misspoke. We were very prepared for the possibility that Gardner Minshew would play. So nothing could be further from the truth. Next question.
Nope, that's not what he said. He said they prepare for the Eagles offense, in quotes, because Philadelphia wasn't going to change much of what they do. So paraphrasing that, it didn't matter to us who their starting quarterback was. Now, here's what's problematic about that.
There's a lot of things problematic with that.
The one thing Jalen does more than any other quarterback, not named Lamar Jackson, is the RPO. And he's got over 600 yards rushing this year. And that's clearly the strength of their offense, which is why they have the leading rush offense in football. A lot of that comes directly from their quarterback running the ball. Gardner Minshew didn't run the ball. So if their offense is predicated on the run-pass option, in which they run it very well, very successfully in this season, and you go to a quarterback that's more of a pocket-style quarterback who's not going to run RPOs, which is half the Eagle offense, you're not preparing for the same team.
Yeah, this excuse, because Saleh sort of said the same thing yesterday, doesn't fly. Both quarterbacks are very different. Now, you want to tell me, well, Philadelphia doesn't use a completely different offensive system. No one's suggesting they're changing their entire offensive system, but what we are suggesting is the way Jalen Hurts beats you is far different than the way Gardner Minshew beats you.
And by the way, if your focus was to stop the run, just in general, overview.
How'd that go?
You didn't do that.
You couldn't stop Miles Sanders. You couldn't stop Kenneth Gainwell on that touchdown
run.
Great
name for a running back, by the way.
And the other thing was, and this is nothing new, they can't stop the simple screen.
Ever.
And this has been going on all season long, and it continued with Dallas Goedert on the opening drive.
Yeah.
On the opening drive, the second play from scrimmage was a play-action screen to Dallas Goedert that went 17 yards, and then the touchdown where somehow C.J. Mosley ends up trying to defend Dallas Goedert. Oh, my God. I mean, C.J., you know what? I used to like C.J. Mosley because he was a capable player. He's not very good.
You know, it's funny. He's one of those guys where reputationally, he's better than actual performance. Wouldn't you agree?
His early performance as a Jet, week one 2 years ago, and even earlier this season, I thought was a lot better than what we've seen over the last 5 weeks.
I thought he was our best defensive player.
Yeah.
You know, now, did you think the guy on the offensive lineman for the Eagles flinched on the third down play when Mosley jumps literally across the entire line? I didn't. I thought that was all on Mosley.
Yeah.
They claim they thought they saw a flinch.
Yeah.
I didn't see it, did you?
Yeah, that wasn't the number one call that jumped out at me. It was a bad timing call in that it killed them in the big spot. But that wasn't if I'm making a list of calls I'm pissed off about.
The Bryce Hall call's brutal.
Yes, or the non-PI when Elijah Moore was interfered
with. We're talking about on the referees, not Jets. We're saying the referees making bad calls.
Yeah. And look, they didn't lose the game because the officials, but the officials had a very rough day.
Yeah, the Moore one's probably even bigger than the Bryce Hall one because you're talking about going for points.
Yes.
Right?
Yeah, no doubt.
Hey, SNY, thank you. Grubhub, loving the Grubhub, especially during the holidays.
And by the way, can we acknowledge the fact that the Jets kicking situation is an abomination?
Yeah.
That
How did he win the kicking competition this week and miss back-to-back extra points?
I don't know. And look, this shouldn't kill us because the Jets have been bad for a while now. But can you name all the kickers they have signed over the years since they lost Nick Folk? Since Nick Folk went away. Like, can you count? If you're a Jet fan, play at home. It's a fun game. It's an incredibly fun game. Think of all the kickers from Sam Ficken to Chandler Catanzaro to Chase McLaughlin to Alex Kessman to Sergio I'm doing the game for you. Isn't it fun? To Sergio Castillo to Vedvik, whatever that guy's name was. I forget his first name.
Well, we got another new one now.
Vedvik. Now we got Eddie Pinheiro.
Eddie Pinheiro is the new Jet kicker.
Look, the only reason this doesn't really annoy me is that the Jets are bad. They're not bad because of their kicking. I think if they were a good team, this would be more frustrating, like losing games because of the kickers. But since Nick Folk and even Jason Myers, who had a pretty good year.
I'll give you the quick list just so you have it.
Did I miss anybody?
Chandler Catanzaro.
Mentioned him.
Jason Myers.
He was good.
Kari Vedvik,
right.
Sam Ficken. Sergio Castillo.
Yeah.
Chase McLaughlin, Matt Amendola, Alex Kessman, and now number three in your scoreboard, number one in your hearts, Eddie Pinheiro.
It's amazing to me.
9 kickers.
Since Nick Folk.
Nick Folk was cut after the 2016 season.
Yeah, so 17, 18, 19, 20, 21. This is the fifth season.
4.5 seasons, we have 9 kickers. And it's not like one of them was a kickoff specialist. No, right. We have 9 kickers.
Now, Jason Myers was very good. Remember, the Jets decided not to pay him?
Yeah.
Which I understood. Like, they were so far away from winning, they're not in a position to have to pay a kicker a lot of money. But once they figure this out, once the Jets become a competent football team, it pays to have a competent kicker. Like, I'll give the Giants credit for this. Graham Gano is good. That's why Joe Judge is lining up for 58-yard field goals with 10 seconds to go.
It is interesting, though. Like, when you've matched the Eagles, 3 touchdowns for 3 touchdowns, and you're losing by a field goal.
Right.
Right? And there's just something that just doesn't feel good about that.
Oh, yeah, you think?
Right? Like, if it's, I know they got the late field goal. Even if we're losing 24-21
right,
going into halftime.
Right.
I'm like, all right.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah.
But I just didn't feel that way.
Well, the third time around, he finally says, screw it, we're going for 2.
Right. That's later in the game, I'm saying to myself, okay, if we had kicked the extra point on the third touchdown,
right,
we're only down 1 score.
Yes.
By not converting the 2-point conversion, which, to be fair, I wanted them to go for 2. I'm not saying I didn't. That was the right decision in the moment, blah, blah, blah. But when you fast forward, you're now down 9,
yes,
as opposed to being down 8.
Well, because that was all about the fact that he said, I can't trust this poor kid, Alex Kessman, to go out and miss a third extra
point.
Now,
be honest,
I can't do it to him.
In hindsight, the fact that we did not convert the 2-point conversion, you know, the pass to the right, it's not even close, right? Isn't there a part of you that would have liked to have seen him miss 3 straight? In hindsight.
No.
Like, we lose the game, we know we lost. It's not the difference in the game, but we would be the first team in NFL history to bring in a kicker, and in that kicker's first NFL game for our team, he misses his first 3 extra points. I would have loved that.
Oh, yeah, it'd been great. I was thinking that from here on out, even with Eddie Pinheiro here, that the New York Jets should just simply go for 2. I have been giving that thought. Like, F it. Let's just go for 2 every time we score a touchdown. Why not? It's good experience for Zach Wilson. These games don't effing matter anymore. And hey, if you hit it half the time, it works out.
Joe Judge is talking in a little bit. We'll probably jump in on it, just a start of it, because I want to hear how he digs himself out of the hole that he put himself in yesterday when he said, and I'm quoting now, I saw a lot of players make a lot of big plays. And that was his comment on why he was encouraged with the offense. How many points did the offense score yesterday, Ev?
Oh, my God.
Is it still 9?
It scored 9.
So it's still
9. 3 field goals from Graham Gano.
They had a single possession inside the 20. They did not score a touchdown. And Joe Judge said, and I'm quoting now, I saw a lot of players make a lot of big plays. Somebody's got to ask him about that today. So we're going to listen in and see how long it takes that to happen. In the meantime, Steve is in Secaucus on the Fan. Stevie Bones, how are you?
Oh, man, thanks for taking my call.
All right.
Okay, here's my feeling about Saquon Barkley. And I'm not trying to be hard here, but he's done. I'm going to tell you why.
Okay.
That injury was very, very debilitating. And I personally think he's afraid. I think you hit it, Craig, when you're talking about the mental aspect of the
right.
thing. Now, I got the game on yesterday, and on the near side of my TV, he had a lane. He clearly had a lane, and he took it to the outside. He went out of bounds. He reminds me of Franco Harris. And Franco Harris had a rap in his career that he would go to the sideline, get out of the game, or you know, not to hurt himself or injure himself. I think Saquon is there. He feels like...
Yeah, I don't know. I think that's one of those things where when you see him break off a 20-yard run or make the first guy miss, even though he may be tackled for a 2-yard gain, you know, you dream of the possibility, but I don't know if we're going to have the ultimate answer in Saquon as a New York Giant. His career's not over for sure. He's going to be in the NFL next year.
No, his career's not over, but the idea of him being that Hall of Fame talent, that's out the window.
Yeah.
He's not that guy. He's not the guy that Dave Gettleman drafted. So, yeah, I think he could have a solid NFL career, probably elsewhere, but he's never going to become the guy we thought he could be.
If the Giants, at any point this season, can the Giants lose enough games during the remaining 5 weeks for Gettleman to be fired before the end of the season? Or do you think they've just already made up their decision?
Here's the problem.
We're not doing that.
Look, here's the problem. It's going to piss off a lot of Giant fans, but this is the reality. They're not firing Dave Gettleman. They're removing Dave Gettleman in a classy way.
Reassignment.
He's retiring.
Consultancy.
He's happy. Thank you for your service. Giant fans want blood.
Yeah.
They're not getting it.
I thought of a great specialty podcast or radio show we could do.
Another one?
Yeah. What was the last one?
Well, you've thought of one talking to, I think, World War II veterans.
I'm doing that. Nice. Yeah, I'm connecting with a VA in Paramus, New Jersey, and we're putting that together. So that's happening.
So that's one. What else?
I'm going to sit down with World War II veterans first and then some other veterans and let them share their stories. I can't wait to do it. It's going to be amazing.
So what's the new idea?
I think we put in a room... failed New York coaches.
Oh, as a round table?
But, like, not just any level of failure, like spectacular failures.
So Richie Kotite fits.
Yes.
Obviously.
Yes.
Does Ben McAdoo fit?
He'd probably be on the fringe of it.
Yeah.
I'm thinking more along the lines of, come on.
Ray Hanley?
Yes, sir. That's right. Ray Hanley. I think McAdoo, Shermer. You know, people that ilk.
Yeah.
And I just, because I'm sure those guys have a much different opinion of all of us.
Oh, yeah.
Than they've ever let on.
I wonder with Ray Hanley and Rich Kotite specifically.
I think Ray Hanley has a small cabin in the woods in which he would come across like Einhorn's parents. Yeah, he's got an I Hate Dan Marino room, but it ain't Dan Marino.
You know what? I think the round table needs to be a one-on-one. I think it's just those two, Kotite and Hanley.
Yeah.
Because in a lot of ways, and I know Ray Hanley's record wasn't the worst, but think about the era he followed in 91 and 92. Those guys, I think, to many Jet and Giant fans, they're the definition of incompetent head coaches. Adam Gase has made a run at it.
Yeah?
He did. He made a serious run at it. We got to let time dictate that. But if you can book Hanley and you could book Kotite, that's money.
Kotite's been in hiding for 2 decades. I'm not sure if he's bookable.
Well, has Ray Hanley done anything?
I'm not sure. Where's Ray Hanley?
I'm Googling where Ray Hanley is.
Hanley is Einhorn. Einhorn is Hanley. Ah! You got to find me Ray Hanley. Don't you think that'd be a great radio show or podcast? Because we're not the only town that's got people
Hold on, hold on, hold on. I have an update.
Yeah.
Following his departure, Ray Hanley would disappear from the NFL and leave the public eye.
Yeah.
He now resides in the Lake Tahoe area. Get ready for this. Before Super Bowl 42 in 2008, when the Giants were playing the Patriots, a reporter unearthed Hanley's unlisted home telephone number and called him.
I think I vaguely remember
this. In the hopes of talking about the Giants. Hanley was unhappy at being contacted, and after being told it was for a Where Are They Now interview, said, "No, I'm not the least bit interested. Thank you very much," and hung up the phone, making his lone
post-firing public statement, a very brief one.
Wow.
That is his only public statement since he was fired in 92.
I got to go out to Lake Tahoe to find him?
Good luck.
It'd be like that Netflix special, like Searching for Bigfoot. Searching for Handley. Did you happen to see Lawrence Taylor, as per TMZ Sports, was asked his opinions on Daniel Jones and Joe Judge? And Lawrence Taylor came back and said, who is that? You mean Eli's not still the quarterback? Get the F out of here. That he does not watch football, certainly doesn't watch the Giants. And here's the exact quote. Daniel Jones is the what? You mean to tell me Eli is not the quarterback no more? Get the bleep out of here. He has no idea.
Do you believe him?
Well, it was an interview with Otis Anderson.
Do you believe him?
Yeah, I kind of do.
You do? I'm going to take you back to 2016. It was Election Day. I don't know if you recall, we had a presidential election in 2016. Do you remember this?
Yes, because the young woman from the Air Force went to prison because of it. Yeah. Yeah.
That's right.
That's what you take out of the election in 2016?
She got railroaded by the United States government and spent 5 years in prison for emailing a confidential email to a news organization.
Okay.
I think her name was... I think her name was like Charity Spinner or something. I'll get her name.
That's your takeaway?
Yeah.
My point is, on Election Day 2016, a very hotly contested election, Nick Saban was asked, hey, how about this election today?
Mm-hmm.
And Nick Saban responded, I'll never forget this, I didn't know today was Election Day. Now, come on. He knew it was Election Day. He was just playing the Nick Saban game of, I'm so focused on football, I have no idea. Here's my point. Lawrence Taylor knows Eli Manning is not the quarterback of the New York Giants.
He might not, though.
No, I think he does.
He might. He just might be crazy enough not to know.
He knows.
It's possible.
And he's playing dumb.
By the way, the woman I was thinking of, her name is, believe it or not, her real name, Reality Winner.
No, I remember that story. Yeah. It's just funny to me that when I say there was an election in 2016.
And he had no idea.
That's your result that you come up with.
Well, that's right, because he was on 60 Minutes yesterday, so I was thinking about it.
Okay.
But yeah, I think Lawrence Taylor is goofball enough to have no idea who the Giant quarterback is or the head coach, because he doesn't give a rat's ass.
Do you think Nick Saban knew it was Election Day that day?
Yeah, probably.
Oh, okay.
He seems like the kind of guy that votes.
Yeah, I would hope so or think so.
Yeah, I think he's probably a voter, active voter.
So,
yeah.
I think it's very similar. That's exactly what I thought of when I read this story. Because I'm like, give me a break. Like, LT's heard of Eli Manning retiring.
Maybe
and
he
Daniel
hasn't.
I find it hard to believe.
Is it possible that LT is so caught up in the world of Lawrence Taylor, he doesn't care about football anymore?
I'm going to tell you why.
Why? Because he agreed to do Otis Anderson's podcast?
That could partly be the reason.
Call up Otis Anderson, guys. You have his number. And see if he thinks LT was telling the truth.
Here's why I think it's impossible. Not that I think LT is glued to watching Giant football. I don't think that. People in his life, or people he runs into in the middle of the street, after they say, LT, I love you, you don't think a few people would say to him, hey, LT, Daniel Jones sucks.
Yeah, probably his golf buddies, you would think,
By
right?
By accident, Lawrence Taylor would have to hear about the state of the New York Giants.
You would think. I mean, I'll buy that. Accept that
Thank
that rationale,
much.
Sure.
Thank you.
But to what end? Like, you have Nick Saban doing it for a reason. What's the reason? What's Lawrence Taylor's benefit of playing
I don't think he cares anymore, so it's an easier answer to say, who are you talking about? What are you talking about?
He doesn't want to further the conversation?
I don't think LT wants to talk about current football, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I think it is easier to just say, I have no idea who these people are, and kind of it mocks the Giants a little bit by saying, they're so bad, I don't care. So I think that's the positive that comes out of it. But I just think it's almost impossible. Not by watching the games, because I agree with you, Craig. In his own world, I don't think he's spending Sundays watching the Giants. I completely agree. Yeah. I just think it's by accident. Someone's going to approach him about these things.
I don't know. I wonder what Lawrence Taylor does now anyway. I know he plays a lot of golf.
Yeah, there's your answer.
I know he gets his whatever check. What's that called when you retire? I'm so far away from it. I don't even know what it's called.
Pension.
I know he gets his NFL pension. But yeah. Huh. Okay. I mean, wouldn't it be great, though, if he didn't know? Like, let's say he's telling the truth. Eli Manning's not the quarterback? That's like funny. Right out of Dumb and Dumber. We landed on the moon? Wait! Awesome!
It is kind of funny.
You know the scene I'm talking about?
I do, yes.
When he's in the bar, the ski lodge bar, and he's checking out the newspaper clippings on the wall.
Right.
And one of them is, we landed on the moon.
Yes.
And he's like, we landed on the moon? Awesome!
Right.
That's funny.
Any Joe Judge start talking yet, boys, or no? All right, right now, let's just take a quick listen. Joe Judge.
Well, so you got to give it a sec.
All right, we're going to bring it up here.
See how
quickly
him.
He gets called on the hole that he dug himself yesterday by saying, I saw a lot of players make a lot of big plays. Here we go.
Top, just want to go ahead and just bring you in the loop. We've had two positive COVIDs today. We're waiting on further testing to determine, you know, if it's a final COVID or what it may be. But the names would be Wes Martin and Jerry Schaplinski. So as of right now, you know, Jerry's involved with
quarterback coach.
With the offense, getting ready for the game planning. Also meet with the players. And Wes Martin's been, isolated from the team back at the hotel. And they'll both be receiving, you know, attention from our medical department, you know, as we determine what this is or isn't. So that being said, just bringing in a fold on that right there. I'll open up for any questions.
Wes Martin's a backup offensive lineman. Jerry is the quarterback coach.
Joe, this is, obviously you have some quarterback uncertainty. Your quarterback coach now is not going to be, hands-on with the team. What does this do for the position, and where are you with them right now?
Well, some variables this week, obviously, in terms of, you know, Daniel seeing some doctors today, you know, receiving some different, you know, opinions and diagnosis and things of that nature. You know, when we find out more information on him, that'll give us a better idea going through this week. In terms of Mike, obviously, he's in the protocol. You know, the optimistic view would be to have him ready for the game on Sunday. We'll see where that goes throwing out. And then we'll get Jake and Brian ready for the game based on, you know, whatever we may have to do. Being as though it's a possible COVID situation, we'll also have some emergency plans, you know, in the works with different guys on the roster. You know, as far as Jerry, you know, it'll be a little limiting on the field. In terms of the meetings, we've done this before as far as the virtual meetings, staying plugged in. That's both with game planning with the coaching staff as well as staying connected through the meetings and installs with the players. So we'll continue on the same path we've worked in the past with that. And, we'll make any adjustments we have to throughout the week based on any new information we receive.
Duggan.
Hey, Joe, I got two for you. First, what happened with the timeout at the end of the first quarter yesterday?
Yeah, so the play clock and the game clock were really, it looked like in sync. Both were taking down 25, 24 at the same time. So we were just going to go to the second quarter, and about 15 seconds, you know, Brad turned to me and said, hey, you're going to need to snap this ball. So rather than go ahead and force a bad play by rushing something in, I just said, go ahead, I'll call timeout. Had a productive play, put us in a better situation there. Not something you want to use in that situation right there. But, you know, clock would look to be synced up right there, clicking at the same time. So when we receive the information, rather than scramble to go ahead and get something out there, we determined just go ahead and take it, put ourselves in a better situation.
Gotcha. And then, I mean, you're someone who's obviously conscious of your messaging. And I got to revisit post-game yesterday because I think a lot of people were kind of left shaking their heads by how you were so positive about the offense when you only scored 9 points. I'm just curious, like, what was the messaging behind that?
Well, look, I approach my comments publicly very differently than when I talk to the team behind closed doors. So I'm someone who's very big on honesty and being very transparent with the team. I talk all the time about the truth is on the tape. So we talk as a team. We talk every week, regardless of what the result of the previous game was, of things we did well, we have to build on, things we have to correct. And we go through that very, very bluntly and openly as a team and make sure everyone's on the same page. In terms of, you know, publicly, look, I'm not going to be a guy who's going to sit out there and, you know, single out players. It's just not my style. I'm just not going to do that. And that's, you know, something I've believed in from being a player and working under other coaches. So in terms of just coming out publicly and, you know, going after guys, I'm not going to do that. In terms of, you know, are there a lot of things we have to do better to take advantage of opportunities in front of us? Absolutely. Yeah, absolutely. Were the things that I saw that I said, okay, this is, you know, on the right track as far as getting the ball down the field to our players and giving them an opportunity to make plays? Yeah. And I saw Kenny making some good contested catches. We were able to find matches with him. You talked about game planning throughout the week to find situations to get Evan, you know, isolated down the field and some, you know, third down conversions. That turned up in the game. You know, the ability to get some different things working schematically, that was encouraging. But look, there's other opportunities in the game we have to take advantage of, you know, and, you know, the difference in, you know, winning and losing in this league is so, it's such a fine line. Okay. There's not a lot of margin for error. So we've got to go out there and we've got to make sure that when those opportunities come up to be able to make a play, we've got to go out there and we've got to be in a position to do it.
Dunleavy.
Joe, maybe this says something about me being a worst case scenario kind of guy, but if Daniel and Mike are not cleared, then Jake Fromm is going to lead you through practice as your number one quarterback on Wednesday. That's right, correct?
Yeah, if neither one of the other two are available, that would be correct.
And so I assume the same thing. You're not going to bring in somebody else from the outside, so he'd be your starter on Sunday, right?
The plan right now is for Jake to go ahead and continue in his role in terms of, you know, a lot of contingencies, you know, whether it's the COVID contingency or the uncertainty in terms of the other quarterbacks. Look, Brian Lewerke's working as well. The COVID adds another element into it as well that we've got to prepare beyond. So we're talking internally about a lot of options right now, personnel-wise, see what we can do to address it, make sure you build in depth, you know, for a multitude of reasons.
And then so could you just talk about Jake and what you've seen from him the first 5 days here? And, you know, if it comes to that scenario where he has to make his first NFL start, you know, 9 days after getting the playbook, what would you expect from him? And, you know, what have you seen from him?
Well, I'd say, first off, when you get a guy on a short-term basis, we did last week, you know, quick turnaround for a guy like Jake, you know, the biggest thing you want to do is just make sure that he has a grasp on what he would have to run within the game. So while when you go from Daniel to Mike, you want to push and stay as close to the offense as you possibly can, expect them to go out there and execute the game plan. For a guy who's only been in your system for a couple of days, you've got to go ahead and select more of a menu of what he can go ahead and operate within. And that's not always limiting based on his ability. It's just based on being new in a scheme and a system. What's he comfortable with going out there and playing aggressively and making the right decisions within? You know, at this point, you really want to go ahead and let him continue to improve on it. He's an intelligent guy. He's demonstrated that already. He's got very good poise out there. And he's got a very good presence. One of the things that's very impressive about this guy is you talk to former teammates of his, like we did before he got in here, you know, most of those Georgia guys, and every single one of them, you know, lit up and said, we'd absolutely, you know, love to have that guy on the team. You know, he's got a very good presence. He's a good teammate. He's got leadership qualities about him. You know, a lot of things you would hear someone say in a banquet about him. He's got a lot of intangibles. You know, in terms of him as a player, he's shown in practice good competitiveness, the ability to go out there and handle some different situations. He had a lot thrown on his plate in a short period of time last week. A lot of it, whether it's a quarterback or any other player in a short week turnaround, you want to kind of use as much comparable coaching, if you would, to go ahead and make sure they can associate a scheme or a system to what they've, you know, been exposed to previously, kind of a quicker learning. At this point, he's been studying the playbook, he's been studying the game plan. So get him on our page. He's got some time to go ahead and keep on building with it. And he'll spend between today and tomorrow and Wednesday, you know, really getting ready for Wednesday's practice. So in terms of him, been pleased with the way he's progressing so far. It's been a very short window with Jake. But, you know, look, encouraged by the way this guy works. And if, you know, Jake's number's called on, he'll prepare himself.
This is Joe Judge's press conference. The guy in Georgia you talked to him about would be Andrew Thomas, because he went to Georgia also, obviously. I mean, that's a whole lot of nothing.
This sounds like Mike Effin White. The guy's lit up when we talked about him. He's got moxie. By the way, because he answered the question about the timeout.
At the end of the first quarter. The other stuff he didn't answer.
Well, before that, I want to address this because he made it seem as if the official told him that he needed to run a play. I went back on the game. I already tweeted it out so you could see the picture. The clock on TV, if you believe it, if you believe Fox, clearly shows there's a 1 second difference where the Giants were not going to have to run a play.
Right.
So,
I agree with you.
Unless you're telling me, hey, look, the graphic was wrong, Fox messed up, Joe Judge is wrong. And I got the proof right here with this picture.
Yeah,
16,
no, so put
17.
It
I already
yeah,
tweeted
listen,
it.
If they're, I mean, did he allude there? I didn't hear that the
he
same way.
He said he was told.
Yeah. He was told by whom?
He said he was told whoever his clock management guy is that they're going to have to snap
not by
the
a
ball.
Referee. He
no,
said
no,
a guy
someone on the Giants. Right. Someone inside his organization.
Whoever, he mentioned the first name. I forget the first name. Did he say Howard?
Whatever.
Harold,
doesn't
whatever.
Matter. Yeah.
Somebody. I don't know if that was an official. I don't know if it was somebody on the Giants staff. I don't know. It's not like Joe Judge explained it. I'm just telling you, for those of us at home who watched the game, and I've got the proof on Twitter,
it was
very close, but there was a difference where they didn't have to run a play. So that information that was given to Joe Judge, either that's wrong or the graphics wrong.
I mean, the least of his problems, but fair to point
out. I just
want
to point that out, yes.
All we know is what we see on TV.
Yes.
So if you're telling me that Fox had the clock wrong, well, that's on them. They got to own that. And I guess we can ultimately get an answer to that. But listen, when he was asked about why he felt so positive, he didn't answer the question. He didn't tell you what he saw. Like, he referenced Kenny Golladay making a couple catches in traffic, and he talked about how Evan Engram, we knew that he'd have some chances. All right, so Engram was wide open deep, and Glennon didn't connect with him.
Right.
By the way, we'll give you that one. Glennon missed a wide open Evan Engram, and it would have been a touchdown. All right. But, you know, I can't take back that that didn't happen. It happened. He didn't connect with him. You scored 9 points. You said after the game, I saw a lot of players making a lot of big plays. How many plays did they have over 20 yards in yesterday's game? One. How many times were they inside the red zone? Once. How many touchdowns did they score? None. Like, you know, in the last two games since they fired Jason Garrett, the New York Giants have scored 22 points. A 13 spot and a 9 spot. So what are we talking about? Right? Like, what are we talking about? And now you have a COVID issue in the quarterback room, and they're not going to bring anyone else in. He said it himself.
Right.
So assuming that Daniel Jones's neck is not cleared to play, and it certainly looks like that's the direction we're going in, and then not knowing the concussion protocol of Mike Glennon, I guess in theory, if Mike Glennon shows up today or tomorrow and he's clear-headed and passes all the, all the tests. And listen, on a personal level, let's hope that's the case.
Right.
But there's a good chance you're going into an unwinnable situation with Jake Fromm.
Jake effing Fromm.
Yeah.
Just give him the name already.
Right.
Jake effing Fromm.
It ain't getting better. It's going to get worse. You're going to be 4-9.
Listen, one thing we don't like is being lied to. We don't like that. None of us likes that because we're good sports fans here in New York, New Jersey, Connecticut. We watch the games. You can't lie to us and tell us that the Giant offense showed you something, Coach. You can't do that. You can't say you saw a lot of positives because 9 points and 250 total yards disagree with you. So, look, there's nothing you can say. I always say this to you, bro. When you lose 20-9, when you lose 13-0, whatever it is, there isn't really much a coach can say that's going to make you feel good.
Right.
But what you can't do is BS us. You can't.
Right.
And yesterday, Joe Judge tried to BS us. He doubled down on it today. The offense is inept. The offense is awful. We could talk about why. Does a lot of it have to do with the offensive line? Sure. Does a lot of it have to do with the fact that Mike Glennon stinks? Absolutely. Does a lot have to do with Darius Slayton dropping passes? Saquon Barkley dancing? Yes, yes, and yes. But you can't tell us something we didn't see. You can't because right. We see through it, Craig.
Right. We care. Like, we watch games with a passion. We're Jet fans. You're Giant fans. We know exactly what we see. And you can't come out and say, there's a lot of things I saw in the way we played that are moving in the right direction. You scored 9 points. A lot of guys stepped up in different situations, but we have to make more plays. I'll tell you, your defense played better and has played pretty well starting back with the Kansas City game. That's a fair assessment of your defense and Patrick Graham getting the most out of this team. I'll give you that. We'll throw you that bone. But it's an offensive sport. You have to score to win. You have to. This is not a 6-3 league anymore. Right?
Yep.
And their offense stinks, and it ain't getting better. It's getting worse under his tutelage. And by the way, don't sell me on, I talked to the guys on the team who went to Georgia, and they're thrilled that Jake is here. Please don't insult me with that. Don't tell me you went to Tay Crowder and said, hey, Tay, what do you think of Jake Fromm? Come on now. Don't sell me on that.
No, it only works when the players
say. Oh, hey, Lorenzo Carter, you went to Georgia. What kind of guy do we have? Come on now.
Ojulari, Andrew Thomas.
Yeah.
They got a bunch of guys.
Andrew Thomas is the one guy I'll accept.
Now, the only time it works.
Come on.
Let me give him a little advice because we have experience in this. The only time it works is if Andrew Thomas comes out, meets the media, and says, hey, guys, let me tell you something about Jake Fromm. He's an effing beast.
Right.
He's the man. And then we run with it. The coach saying it doesn't exactly work.
I got the guys from Georgia together. No, you didn't. No, you didn't. Because it doesn't matter what those guys say. You picked up Jake Fromm a week ago.
Right.
Well, did Tay Crowder bless that? Did Ojulari say, you got to go get Jake Fromm? Were the Bills reluctant to give him up?
Well, they're in a different spot.
I know. I'm just saying.
They're in a different world.
I assume he has not said anything else that I need to hear, right? Is that a fair assessment?
Yeah, most of the questions have now been, what's their scheduling in Arizona?
So he got away with it. That fascinates
me. No, Craig. He didn't get away with it with Giant fans. He lost Giant fans yesterday afternoon and earlier today. Like, every few weeks when your team sucks, there are certain fans who say, I've had enough. This guy's not the coach. With me and you, it was the Kansas City game. I came in. I'm not a Giant fan, but as a football fan, I came in after the game and said, I'm done with this guy. They're not going to win here. That was my tipping point. So everybody has a tipping point.
Sure.
Maybe it's the embarrassment against the Buccaneers. I think for a lot of Giant fans, their tipping point was that postgame press conference because it's insulting.
Yeah, right.
Because we see through it. Because
we know what you're doing.
We know the offense sucks.
You can't come out there and try to make it sound better like you're slapping lipstick on a pig hoping that the owner of the pig thinks the pig looks good.
Well, and it reeks of something you said earlier, which is a guy desperate to hold on to his job.
That's how I view him.
And when you're desperate to hold on to a job, you're going to do all sorts of things to try to prove your worthiness. That's not going to work with Giant fans. This offense is broken.
I don't know if it works anywhere, to be honest. Like, you think in Jacksonville you could sell Jaguar fans, or in Texas, Houston?
Yeah, they're more gullible.
You think? I don't think so.
Yeah, we're smarter here.
I think we're smarter, but no, I think at the end of the day, you know exactly what you see. Like, listen, I'll say it again. I'll repeat you from a year ago. There's only 17 of them, and we watch them like we watch our children. It's important to us. Some people, lunatics, DVR games.
So?
They go back and watch them
again. What's wrong with that?
They want to make sure they saw what they saw.
I need to make sure I saw what I saw what I saw.
And when a coach comes out and goes, I saw a lot of positive things. A lot of guys made a lot of big plays. And you're going, wait a minute. You only had 250 yards of total offense in this game. You didn't have the balls to go for it. How come nobody asked for that again today? To me, I go in today.
Because he gave his answer.
Again, guns blazing.
Yeah, but he already gave his lame answer.
This is why the fan base needs a reporter that represents them.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Coach, I just want to reiterate some of the stuff from yesterday. Let's go over the three times, fourth and four or less around midfield, that you punted on all three. Let's walk through those. If you could do it again, would you have punted? You only scored 9 points.
We haven't mentioned this yet on the show, and I wouldn't have done it, but I do think it's fair to bring up since you sort of alluded to it. So the Giants get the football to start the game. Not because Joe Judge said, give me the ball. It's because Miami deferred. On the opening drive, they had a 4th and 3 from Miami's 46-yard line. Very similar to the drive we talked about in the second half. 0-0, right out of the gate, opening drive, backup quarterback. Personally, I was good with punting. But I ask you, since you've brought this up, is that one of those scenarios where you would have gone for it?
I'm aggressive all the time. I've told you before.
Okay.
I would go for it on every 4th and 5 or less, no matter where I am on the field.
Okay.
Every one of them. Because I just think statistically, I'm going to convert enough of them where I'm going to get points
out
of the drive.
Even opening drive of the game, I got Mike Glennon.
I set the tone, Evan.
Would you have done that, Big Mac?
Yes, he would have. He's my aggressive brother.
Can you let him answer the question?
I can look at him. Look at him. Aggressive.
Yes, I would have considered it. Okay. I would have been fine. I would have went for it. I would have.
Okay. Now, listen. If you told me. And also, my record plays a role in that, too. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm desperate. I got to get a win to keep my season alive. So I might coach a little differently if I'm 4-7 versus if, like, I'll give you an example. I'll give you a great example. Yesterday's Baltimore-Pittsburgh game.
Mm-hmm. Going for two?
It's a must-win game for Pittsburgh. Baltimore's going to make the playoffs most likely. They were 8-3 going in, or 8-4, or whatever, right? So if I'm Baltimore, I can survive not converting the 2-point conversion to win the game. I got the record that's going to back that up, right? So I might play that.
Yeah, but you're also saying if you have a bad record, you would do that.
No, I'm saying that they're depending on my record. Yes, I would do it if I'm desperate. Yes, if I'm really comfortable. Yes, if I'm middle of the pack.
Okay,
maybe
so let's start.
I might play it overtime.
So to the opposite end of things, the Pittsburgh Steelers, who came into that game 5-5-1, pretty big game, but they're in the middle.
Had to win that game.
So if they were on the side of Baltimore. They would not have gone for two.
Because if they don't convert there, their season might be over.
But you're also facing a better team where if you lose the coin toss in overtime.
Pretty good, right?
No, I get that. But if you lose the coin toss in overtime, you allow the possibility that you never get the football back.
I recognize
that. And by the way, the reason the Baltimore Ravens went for two had everything to do with the injuries to their corners. Marlon Humphrey's out for the season, which we found out today. But they were so banged up. And Harbaugh said it after the game. He's like, I have no corners.
And by the way.
Like, I had to go for it.
Should have scored on it.
Wow. Oh, my God.
Okay.
I mean, Andrews, it's off his hands. The pass isn't perfect, but it's right off his hands.
Yeah. So I do think sometimes record dictates that also. Like I always say, if I'm the Jets last year, if I'm the Lions this year,
right?
Why wouldn't I go for it every time?
No, no, I totally, right? I totally agree.
I got nothing else
from.
To lose.
The only reason I would politely disagree with both of you about the opening drive is I think the Giants early on said, okay, here's how we're going to win this game. We're going to force a couple of turnovers. We're going to protect the ball. We're going to play really good on defense, and we're going to win a 12-9 game. So I think opening drive, the figuring is, hey, let's pin them back, which they did. They pinned them at their own 11-yard line, and let's play the field position game, which worked. It helped build them a 3-0 lead, because remember, when they got that football on the field goal drive, they set up at the Miami 35 or whatever
really
it was.
Are we calling a 3-0 lead building a lead?
Well, they built a lead, as opposed to failing on fourth
really
down on the opening
drive.
Well, it was a lead. Yeah, they had a lead. But to the point, once it's the third quarter, and once I haven't forced any turnovers, and once it's 10-6 and the game is going in that direction,
yeah,
then I say, okay, here's my moment to be aggressive.
Yeah, I do it all
I
the time.
I wouldn't have done
you
it right
your,
out of the game.
Your places more than I would. I get that. It's all good. Listen, it ended the same. We know how it ended. It ended the way most Giant games the last 5 years ended, with a big L. Because if I do the numbers, what's their record now, Evan? 4-8?
4-8 following 6-10.
6-10. They are 10-18. Under Joe Judge. 10-18. They got 5 games to go. So they're a lock to be under 500 in the 2 years of the Joe Judge campaign.
Good math. You're correct.
I know. Thanks. I told you I'm a math major. Coming up, how do you pronounce Albert's last name? We'll find out right after this on The Fan.
Spring is a time of renewal, so why not refresh your home with a little help from Blinds.com? We make getting custom window treatments a minor project with major impact. Choose from premium blinds, shades, and shutters. We even have options for your patio, too. Blinds.com invented a better way to shop for custom window treatments. There's no pushy salespeople in your home or inflated showroom prices. Our design experts can help you find the perfect window treatments on your schedule. We'll even send free samples directly to you. Plus, we can handle the measuring and installation for you. Unlimited window treatments installed for just one low cost. And with Blinds.com, you'll always get transparent pricing. No hidden fees. Our free shipping and 100% satisfaction guarantee can put the spring back into your step. And into your home, too. Shop Blinds.com right now and save up to 40%. Up to 40% off for a limited time at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Oh, oh, oh.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.